Hello, we in the fellowship are a people called by God to communicate his love deeply into the hearts of men by living his life, preaching his word, and by the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We would love to take you on a journey into the very heart of God. Come with us as we journey together. This is the fellowship.
From what? Now, you see that the reason why Moses brought this law was so that they can have purity in the land. Are we correct? So he was saying that the idea is that we want to put evil out. That was why this was done. Now, but you know, upon the arrival, so to speak, or the emergence of Jesus, you don't need to kill any man to put evil out. He has come to blot out. So these people now came and said, we caught this woman in the very act. And Moses said, let's go back to our scripture. And Moses said that if we catch anyone in adultery, that person should be what? Should be what? Should be stoned to death. Let's go together. That person should be stoned. Okay. But Moses did not say, carry the woman and leave the man. He said, both the adulterer and the adulteress. So the question is, where is the adulterer? So that man was for certain reasons in their good book. So these people are selective with their judgments. Some people will pass, so many others will not. That's more like what we see in the country, right? Yes. When a man steals a cup of rice, they kill him. When a man steals 80 billion, they pardon him. That's what we're seeing here. So they were selective in their approach. They picked the woman and they left the man. So they said, now that Moses has said this, what do you say? If Jesus had said, don't stone the woman, leave her alone, they would tag Jesus a rebel. They will say that he does not believe in the law, being that in that dispensation, the law was what they used as their governing principle. So if Jesus had said, don't stone her, leave her alone, they will tag him a rebel. If he had said, stone her, the entire journey into the dispensation of grace would have ended right there. So they knew that they had put Jesus in a fix. So they thought. But you know, amazingly, the Bible made us understand that when Jesus heard these people, Jesus did not say anything. He did as if he didn't hear them. He stooped low. We all don't know what Jesus said or what he wrote when he was writing with his finger. But if there's one thing I learned from that scripture, that Jesus did as if he did not hear them. That's what the Bible said. I learned that when you don't have the answer to a problem, don't be in a hurry to say anything. Are you hearing me? Yes. I found out that a lot of the times, we attempt to give answers to questions that even we ourselves are not sure of. There's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know, when you don't know. Are you hearing me? You may be a pastor. People may ask you questions. You don't have all the answers. When you don't know, tell them, let's pray about it. It's as simple as that. Let's trust God for the answer to this question and pray about it. Sometimes people bring dreams to you and you don't have the interpretation. You will just start saying all manner of nonsense. The person say, I saw a dog in my dream. Say, when we begin to speak of dog? know, dog refers to a prostitute. If you don't know, you don't know. There is nothing wrong in not knowing. Yes. So when you don't know, you press into God and ask questions. So when these people came to Jesus, Jesus was not in a haste to answer. The Bible said he didn't even say a word. He kept writing on the floor. And obviously they were asking him over and over again. And at a point, he got up. And when he got up, look at what he said. The Bible says, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them. Let's read that together. He that is what? He that is without sin among you, let him first do what? Cast a stone. Now, notice he didn't stop them from stoning her. He permitted them to stone her, but then he gave them the condition for stoning her. He said, okay, no problem, you can stone her. But you see, the only way this stoning thing will work is that the first person that should stone, every other person may be with sin, it's not a problem. But the first person that should stone should be the one who does not have anything. Have you seen that scripture in Romans chapter 8? Let me show you. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. We would pray. We will close on time today. Okay. 34. 34, not 24. If we don't close on time, it's the media that caused it. They are not giving me my scriptures. So the Bible said, who is the he that does what? Who is he that does what? Let's read together loud. Who is he that does what? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also does what? Maketh intercession for us. He said, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that did what? Now, do you know what that is just trying to tell you? It's just trying to tell you that the only person who should have the right to be able to condemn you is the one that died for you. Listen to me. We're going somewhere. The only person that should have the right to condemn you is the one that did what? That died for you. Okay, we'll still touch this scripture. Let me show you one more scripture. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 15. We'll still come back here. Hebrews 4:15. Are we there? For we have not an high priest which cannot be what? With what? But what? Yet what? Without sin. So when Jesus told the people that there's nothing wrong with stoning this woman, if we can find he that is without sin amongst you to be the first to stone, at that point, what Jesus did to that situation was that Jesus made himself the only person that was qualified to stone her. That while everybody was gathered together, there was nobody amongst the people who was qualified aside Jesus. So when Jesus said, let he who is without sin be the first to cast the stone, Jesus was simply telling them that, see, if there is any man here that should be the one to be able to condemn this woman, then it should be me. What does the word condemn mean as we build? Condemning just simply means giving a final negative verdict. concerning a person or a situation. Notice what I said. A final negative verdict. That when you say someone has been condemned, what you are trying to say is that that one, we have concluded that this one cannot be better anymore. That nothing good can come out of this vessel again. So it is on the ground of that condemnation that they can now stone people to death, because since we are not expecting anything good out of you, you don't have any use here, so just go. So the Bible now says that who is he, like we read in Romans, who is he that condemneth? He said it is Christ that died. You see, we have a lot of people who are here who, on the grounds of certain things that they have done or where they are coming from, in their own heart of hearts, even they themselves are not expecting anything good to come out of them. But should I tell you something? Even you don't have the right to condemn yourself. The only person that has the exclusive right to condemn you is the one that died for you. And so when he said, let he who is without sin be the first to cast the stone, the Bible said, from the oldest. Me, I believe that it had to start from the oldest because they are more experienced. They are more experienced in the crime. You know, the longer you have lived here, the more likely it will be that you have done more. So, while the older, maybe the oldest man there is 50. So that man has 50 years experience in crime. While the youngest that is a disciple amongst them, maybe he's 17, he's still feeling fresh. He's still feeling like he has not done much. So when Jesus said, let he who is without sin be the first to cast the stone, the older man with a weightier matter walked away. Then the next followed. Then the next followed. Then the next followed. Then every one of them had to walk out of that situation, and they left the woman with Jesus. You know, if those people, probably it's just what God wanted to do. If not, they should have gone with the woman. They were not the one that brought her. They left her there because they realized at that point, when they came with an adulterous woman to Jesus, every one of them, I'm building something, every one of them came with an adulterous woman to Jesus, pointing at the woman as the one who have sinned and who is worthy of death. But when they came to Jesus, what Jesus did was to expose everybody. That you came here with a holier than thou attitude, and in making it look like there's nobody who is as, every other person is not it. My dear, in the face of Jesus, the only perfect one is him. And he exposes our weaknesses. Not because he wants to destroy us, but because he wants to amend us. So you see, when we come to the house of God, when we come face to face with Jesus, we don't come, sir, I know you are good, but you are not Jesus. Eh? Have you seen that scripture where Jesus was speaking about the Father? And Jesus was saying that can a child ask his father for bread and the father will give him stone? Can he ask him for fish and he will give him a snake? He now said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, he said, how much more your heavenly Father, who is where? Who is in heaven? Now, did you notice that when he said, if you being evil, he did not separate. He didn't think of me. For goodness sake, I'm a father. At least if I was not there then, I'm here now. And by his divine privilege, I have children now. He looked at me and he said, if you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. He said, how much more who? Your heavenly Father. He's not trying to tell you that you are evil in that sense. What he's trying to tell you is that side by side the fatherhood of God, every other father is evil. So this man came, and when they held the woman in accusation to Jesus, Jesus now said, let he who is without sin be the first to cast the stone. And when he said that, everyone who was standing there knew that they were not qualified to accuse that woman of her sin. I want to help somebody today. I want to help somebody today. You who what you use to qualify your level of righteousness is the unrighteousness of your neighbor. I want to help you today. You know there are people like that. You say, I'm an angel now. You know what they do for that compound? If God comes now, we are the first that he will take. Unfortunately, when God begins to expose, you will realize that you and that your neighbor, you are in the same WhatsApp group. I came to help you. So let's go back to our scripture. They which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but who? Saw none but who? But the woman. What did he say? He said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Had no man condemned thee? Next. And she said, no man what? Lord. That's the beginning of her conversion. These people brought this woman to Jesus, and the intention was that they wanted to accuse Jesus and also condemn the woman because they had caught her in the act of adultery. If we're going to condemn and say nothing good can come out from this woman anymore, then we should have said the same thing for the man that was caught with the woman. But then they had done their politics. The man had escaped, and then they held the woman and they brought the woman to Jesus so that they can condemn the woman and also accuse Jesus. But unfortunately, the Pharisees who did not like Jesus, if they had known, they would have done what they wanted to do to that woman and not bring her to Jesus. You can't bring a sinner to Jesus and the sinner will live the way he. It doesn't matter what you came to do. An encounter with Jesus will turn that sinner to a saint. This is his food. This is what he has been looking for. People who came to destroy him brought food to him.
You know this is his food. In John, when he was hungry and the disciples went to look for food and they came back and they were going to give him food, he said, "I'm full." They said, "What have you eaten?" "Oh, say my meat. I just found one meat now. So the enemies who thought that they were going to destroy a woman brought her to meet her savior. About to be condemned, but who they brought her to was her savior. "Did any man condemn you?" She said, "No man. No man." And Jesus looked at her and said, "Neither do I." I'm actually the only one who is qualified to condemn you. But I did not. I actually wanted to speak on something else, but the Lord said I should speak on this because he needs to help somebody's life to come out of the merry clay of guilt and set your feet on the rock to stand, because you are thinking that you have done something so terrible that because of those things you have done, God cannot do the things he has said he will do through your life. And I come to tell you something. The only person that has the record of that thing you did right now is you and the devil. God doesn't. I assure you, I'm not trying to encourage you, I'm telling you the truth. God doesn't. I found out that there's nothing that has limited our generation, especially believers, like the power of guilt. There's nothing wrong, except for the fact that the things you did before are still holding you back. And as long as you have refused to believe that that has been handled by the blood of Jesus, as long as you refuse to believe that God has dealt with it, you keep falling back into the same sin because you have not let go of the one you did the first time. So for you, all you want to do now is to manage your life till Jesus comes or till you go. How long do you want to do that? How long? So every time, come sir. So every time you are trying to advance and you are beginning to press into God, every time you are trying to advance, just do as if you want to move now. You are trying to advance and you begin to press into God. The one you did yesterday will now, not yesterday, even some few years ago, will now. You, where are you going to? Where are you trying to go to? You, do you know how many abortions you have done? Even when Russia, they were killing people in Ukraine, the people they killed, they have not reached the babies that you have aborted. And you want God to use you. How many, you know how many men you slept with? You. Eh? Pastor Ben, they even released grace for prophetic unction. You might, you won't collect. Not true. That day you came to church and then a major impartation went on and you received something tangible, and after you received it you went back, and when you went back you became careless and something happened, and then you fell into maybe masturbation that you have had before, and then after that you stood up and you were like, "Ah God, I'm sorry, forgive me." You see, even if God don't forgive you, you don't, that thing don't go, you have lost it. I've lost it. And so because you feel that way, every time there's a pull back, said, do you know, since the time your prayer started becoming ineffective, can you remember what you did that day? That day, say, I can remember.
So when you remembered,
before you were speaking in tongues, in capital letters, takata tika kakube tekita barada, in your spirit you felt like something was happening. Then when you remember that, you
know, Santa Ramakuria, kente.
You can't press anymore
because something is holding on to you. Jesus looked at the woman and said, woman,
where are those thine accusers? Has no man accused you anymore? She said, no man, Lord. I cannot help but to remember that scripture in Romans chapter 8, where the Bible said, for there is therefore now, no condemnation. If the devil is holding on to this, that's why I called him out, because he's wearing suit. If the devil is holding on to this and he won't let it go, Oga, what will you do? There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Maybe there was, but in Christ Jesus, there's therefore now. No. Remember what I told you about what condemnation is? It's the final negative verdict concerning a man. So when the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, it means that a man who is in Jesus, you cannot tell the end of his story. You cannot look at that man and say, this is the end of this man, because there's therefore now no condemnation. He might have been a criminal, he might have been a prostitute, he might have been anything you want to call him, but in Jesus there is a potential that you have not seen yet. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. He said, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made. I was preaching somewhere within the week and I was telling them, I said, I like that word made in the scripture. When the Bible said, for example, ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. I like the make to set, because when we say a man is made, it means that it doesn't matter the situation that man is in. If that man has been made free, he's a free man in that situation. Yes. He's a free man. That's the reason why somebody like Paul can be in prison. And in prison, he's encouraging the people who are outside and he's telling them to rejoice. Ah, who should be telling who to rejoice? Me that is outside should be telling you, be comforted. Don't let depression to kill you. You know, we are praying for you. You will soon be out. Paul was telling the people from prison that you outside, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Ah. What kind of prisoner is this? One time they were in prison, Paul and Silas. We know that story. The Bible said that they pray and they sang. Sometimes when we want to talk about the fact that those guys were delivered from that prison, we talk about it and make it look like while they were praying and singing was so that the prison door can open. No, that was not why they were praying and singing. If you read that story, you will find out that they were just enjoying themselves. Some of us will say they prayed, and when the door did not open, then they sang. Then they don't know, the Bible did not say so. Say, so when prayer is not working, switch to what? Switch to what? If you have preached it before, I'm sure I've preached it when I was very young.
I forgive myself. Forgive yourself too.
Those men were not doing that thing for the prison to open. So when the prison opened, did you notice they did not move? If that was what they were looking for, they would have escaped. Everything fell. The chains fell. But they were still in the prison. When the warder saw that the prison was open and everywhere had opened, he wanted to kill himself that they had escaped. Say, don't kill yourself. We are here. It is not these chains that has bound us. We are free men. Even in prison, we are free men. If there is any ban upon us, it is the ban of Christ. We are born servants. Because freedom is who we are. We have been made. So the Bible said that the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Listen to me. The devil has nothing on you. And I'm telling you the truth. Most of the times, for a lot of you, the reason why you slip back into masturbation is that there is this thing in you that still feels like you are not qualified yet. There is something you have done that was too big that God has not forgiven you. And so because God has not forgiven that one, let's just continue from where we stopped. I remember when I was a lot younger. I think maybe primary school or early junior secondary or something. I think it was primary. I can't remember now. There was this guy in my class that was a bully. A major bully. He used to bully all of us. He used to bully everybody. I think it was primary school. He used to bully us. So one day, I think he did something to me. And I said I was going to report. That I was going to report him. And I said, oh, since you are going to report me now, let me just cuckoo even do more. And I said, he was just slapping me. Since you want to go and report, let me just beat you so that when you beat me, I know that. I wish I can see that guy again. Let him just attend one service that I'm ministering. We'll use him for example from the beginning to the end. He will be wheeled out. That we will ensure. It's not by falling down, but that day, me, I will. If the angel wants to release him, why now? Why? Hold the leg. So for some of us, what the devil is doing with you is that he's trying to make you feel like, see, you are bound to sin. You are a bond man. You see, that thing that you have done is still haunting you. Most of you who are here, you will understand what I'm trying to say. That even though you do many other things, there's one thing that the devil is always holding on to. That every time you want to advance, when you remember what you did, even the one you did yesterday is not as powerful as that one. So the devil holds on to it. But there's therefore now, not some, no condemnation. So Jesus looked at that woman and said, where are your accusers? She said, nobody, Lord. At the point where she acknowledged him as Lord, what she was beginning to say at that point was the fact that, see, the reason why I could do all the things I did was because I was ruled by my own flesh. I was ruled by my own senses. But now I have met you. Can you be Lord over my life? So what the enemy thought was going to be for destruction became the meeting point between a sinner and her savior. Some of you, the devil have troubled you so much, and it is the trouble that is about to bet an encounter in your life. Oh, you don't believe it. Yes. But the devil would have just left you. He would have just left you. Because now you are about to discover that there's something about you you didn't know you had before. So she looked at him and she called him Lord.
And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you.
In 1 John chapter 2, John was speaking. He said, these things I write unto you that you sin not. He said, but if, he said, I even like the way he puts it. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 1. He said, this thing I write unto you, little children, that you sin not. He said, but then, if any man, sin,
there's something we have. What did he call it?
An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of who?
Verse 3. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments.
See, these things I write unto you that you sin not. So that is actually the idea, that you sin not. But if any man sin, okay? Now, this is not justifying. Somebody will read and say, was John trying to justify sin? No, that's not the point. He has shown you that the best we can be is to live above sin. But if it had happened, there's something you also need to understand, that we have an advocate. The advocate, what he does is not to give excuse that, see, you know, just leave him. The sin does not matter. That's not what he's saying. The advocate with the Father is not justifying the sins that you have done. The advocate with the Father is telling the Father that we know that he messed up, but he can do better. I take his place. If any condemnation, that's what he did on the cross. If there is anything that will serve as a punishment for what he has done, I take his place. But this man, he has my life inside of him, and I know what my life can do.
Listen to me. You've messed up. Yes. What you did was terrible, yes. But Jesus is not condemning you.
Rise from where you are. Stop wallowing around that wrong. Rise from where you are. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus went into the house of a particular Pharisee. And when he entered the house, the man invited him so he can come and eat. And when he entered the house, he began to eat. Then a woman walked in. And when the woman walked in, she saw him and she began to weep. She began to weep. She knelt down before him. She used her tears, poured it upon his feet, used her hair, and wiped his legs. And the Pharisee, the Bible said, he said in his heart, if this man was a prophet, if he was truly a prophet as he claimed he was, so now we know that he is a fake man. If he was truly a prophet, he would have known that this woman is a sinner. Aha! And the Bible said, Jesus looked at him. You notice he didn't say it out. So Jesus was trying to confirm to him that, you see, there's nothing I don't know. Jesus now looked at him and said, I want to tell you a story. If a man has two debtors, and one was owing him a lesser amount, and the other one was owing him a higher amount, and he forgives both of them, he said, who will love him more? And the Pharisees say, the one who probably was forgiven more. And Jesus said, you have answered well. You see, this woman, when I came to your house, even though you're a rich man, you're wealthy, you did not give me water to wash my feet. You have water in abundance. She did not even have water. All she had was her own tears. But she made it available for me. In her lack, she was willing to supply. She used her own hair to wash my feet. And she has been kissing my feet since I came to this place. Say, but you did not. And all you're trying to look at is how to judge. But then let me make you understand. Because what Jesus now exposed to that man was that while you are referring to this woman as a sinner, you are equally a sinner. The only difference may just be that she has sinned much more. And because we are forgiving her much more, she will love more. Jesus exposed that man that day. He's a Pharisee, but he was exposed. In Luke chapter 15, we know that from verse 11, the Bible is speaking about a certain man who had two sons. And one of them came to him and said, Father, he said, give me the portion of good that falleth to me. And the Bible said, the man now divided the goods amongst them. So he gave both of them. But you see, the one who stayed in the house was in the house. What he lacked was revelation. So that also affected his own life. Even though the father had divided to both of them, the man was in the house. The man was expecting a small goat. He said, you did not give me a small goat to be able to celebrate with my friends. What do you need a small goat for? I have divided my living for both of you. So the younger son took his own and left. And the Bible said he went and he spent it on riotous living. And after he had done everything he did, now there was famine in the land. And the young man was looking for a way to help himself. You know, like so many of us, when you have done something wrong, instead of you to run back, you are trying to look for a way to cover it up, to help yourself. But you see, I found out that there is no way a man can help himself out of sin. If you have sunk in, the harder you try, the more you will sink. So that man went and looked for a man who was a citizen of that very country that he came, that had destroyed him, to work for the man. And when he was there, all he was eating was food with the swine. One day the Bible said he came to himself. Enough. I know you think that when you hear food with the swines, you're thinking, how dirty. Listen to me, you who Jesus died for, who is wallowing in mess up and down, you are not any different from feeding with the swines. Sin is your enemy. I know you don't know. The devil wants to destroy you, and the best weapon he can use to destroy you is sin. Wallowing with the swine, and he came to himself. I can't continue like this. He said, how many hired servants has my father? I see what they do. I see how they don't lack. And me, who is supposed to be a son, look at me here, wallowing in sin. Do you know that Jesus did not die for angels? Do you know that? The blood of Jesus was not shed for angels. Do you know that? And even in that state, look at the level of glory that they enjoy. How much more you, who he died for? And what that man said is, I can't continue like this. I know I have messed up. I had spent all with the harlots, wallowed in sin. He said, I feel so unworthy. I will go back to my father and I will tell him that, Father, I am not even worthy to be called your son. Can you just make me one of your servants? Make me one. I don't even feel qualified. I don't even feel worthy. Even though you died for me, even though it is your blood that you have made available for me, I don't feel worthy to be called one. So the Bible said he stood up, and when he went out and he was going back to his father, the Bible said when he was a long way off. I see how prophets designed by God to be apostles that will change a generation wallowing in sin. I see them in beer parlor. I see people that Jesus died for and who God wants to use to change the tides of the territory. Giving to alcohol, drugs, fornication, all kinds of masturbation of all kinds, pornography of all kinds. As bad as that is, it will destroy your life, but guess what? It is a meeting with Jesus now. And you know what he's telling you? Neither do I condemn you. I know you feel unworthy, but he's saying, neither do I condemn you. I'm looking at you and I'm seeing a general in the spirit. I'm looking at you and I'm seeing one that God can use to do impossible things in our territory, in our time. So because I see something ahead coming for you, even when every other person is saying that nothing can come out of you anymore, he said, neither do I condemn you. And the father looked at that boy. The Bible says he came out. He didn't even allow the boy to walk in. I used to say it. I said the reason why salvation is possible is not because you are walking towards the Father. It's because the Father comes out. Walking from your seat to this place cannot even give you salvation. It's only possible because the Father comes out. The distance between sin and righteousness cannot be covered on foot. It only takes the Father to come out. The Father saw him and the Father came out. And the Father met him. The Father was excited. Oh! The Father did not even allow him to say, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. The Father said, this my son. He was dead. And now he has come back to life. He was lost and now he is found. Go and dress him up. I know he had lost his garment. I know that he had exhausted what I gave him to live on. But now he's going to survive on grace. It's not his portion anymore. It's grace. He has exhausted his portion, but there is one that is available that never runs dry. It is grace. They took that boy inside. They made a party. They were dancing and rejoicing. The elder brother who claimed he did not leave house now came back and heard rejoicing and singing and said, what's happening in this house? I used to say that brother had more problems. Because from that situation, we realized that the brother was closer to the servants than he was to the father. When he wanted to inquire what was happening, instead of him to ask the father, he asked the servant. Say, what's happening? And the servant, because even the servants don't have full information. Yes, there are some things that you will never know, except from the father. The servant say, your brother who traveled came back safely, and that's why they are celebrating. Meanwhile, the father told us why they were celebrating. Not because he came back safely. The father said, this is my son who was dead and now has come back to life. Then I realized that when you see a sinner doing the things they do, don't be quick to condemn. The man is dead.
He needs somebody who will be able to see with the heart of the Father and know that, oh God, give him life. And the boy looked at the father and said, the Bible said he was angry, and because he was angry, he will not go in. He will not go into his own house. Because his brother came back, he could not go into his own house. How that we come to church and we claim to be brethren, but there is competition. He could not go into his own house. And guess what? The same way the father had to recover the one that died and came back to life is the same way the father had to recover him. The Bible said the father came out. The father will always come out. He is the father, but he will always come out. If it is to get his children back into the house, the father will always come out. He came out and looked at the boy and said, no, you don't understand. The boy now told the father, he said, this your son had left the house and came back, and look at what you did for him. Me that has been with you for this long, not even a small goat. Small goat? Is this how you have limited what I made available to you, when all that I have is yours? Somebody shout grace.
There's therefore now no condemnation.
Forgive me today, I speak like an evangelist, because the Father has come out. Next time we'll talk about several mysteries, but the Father has come out. Someone's struggle is about to end because the Father has come out. Where are thy accusers? You might have been condemning yourself, but Jesus is saying, neither do I. You may feel like you are not worthy, but Jesus said, I died so that I can give you my life. I know that your life in yourself, you are dead. But there's someone I've made available to you. It's my own life. And you may be born again. You have that life. But you still wallow in sin. Up and down. Up and down. Up and down. Jesus is saying, I've not condemned you. You've not seen the best of you yet. I can see all that you can become. I can see it. And so it is like that tree that the husbandman planted. And then when he came back after some few years, he did not see it produce, and he was going to cut it down. And the vine dresser came and told the husbandman, please, can you give it one more year? Please. I know that so much resources have been wasted on this life, and it doesn't look like so much has come out of it, but can we give it one more year? There's something else I want to do. I know what and what to put. Let me dig up the soil. Let me weed it up. Let me put certain fertilizers around. I assure you, he will come back to life. Give him one more year. Though a tree be cut down, though it may look like there is no hope for that tree anymore, I see young people giving up because they feel like they have done so much and nothing came out of it.
They have fasted and prayed and nothing came out of it. Listen to me. The only one who is qualified to condemn you, instead of condemning you, he died. Yes. Instead of condemning you and say, okay, you know what? Let him go. He died. And he said, there is only one way we can make this happen. If we must make the land a righteous place again, okay, let me die in his place. And then I will take out his life and give him my life. Because your life cannot sustain righteousness, but him is the righteousness of God. So he gave you his own. So you can now live out his life. Somebody needs to rise up in this place today and tell God, today, I'm making up my mind. If this is all that I will do today, let it be that I came to you and I acknowledge not just that you are God, but you are my Lord. Lord! No man accuses me. See, the reason why I was doing the things I was doing before is because I was being ruled by my own flesh. I allowed myself to prevail over me, so I did so many terrible things. But today, will you be my Lord? And when the Lord looked at her, because she had assumed, and she had assumed that position where he will now be her Lord, he said, neither do I condemn thee. The last instruction. Please come. I was using you for example. Come. The last instruction. He looked at her. He said, neither do I condemn you. He said, go and sin no more. Listen to me. That instruction, don't sit down yet. That instruction was not an advice. That instruction, no, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm serious this time. It's not, today is not, don't worry. He said, go and sin no more. That was not an advice. That was him taking the place of the Lord over her life. That statement that he said, go and sin no more. Even if she went and she saw that man, that man that she was with before they caught her, if she saw that man, that word was life in her. It would be practically impossible for her to fall again, because the master, the Lord over her life, had placed a verdict, and what he said was, go sin no more. That was the end of sin in that woman's life. Somebody is going to leave this meeting today, and I assure you, it's possible that what you even did before you left the house, maybe you even left the site opened. You know the site I'm talking about. You left it open so that after service you will still go back to it. I've been sent from the Lord. I've been sent from the Lord to speak into your life. And what the Lord is saying is, go and sin no more. Someone's struggle is about to encounter the mighty hand of God. No, I'm not even praying. I'm telling you what God is doing here. I'm telling you. That's right. Addiction just broke now. No, it's not. Don't say amen. Don't worry.
Addiction just broke now.
Holy fire, holy fire. Just sit down, don't stand, just sit. Holy fire, burn upon my heart.
Holy fire.
Was a major instrument in killing believers, but it was that very man that God would use to bring a major revival into the church. You will know that you are not a condemned man. You will know that you are not a condemned woman. You will know that there is something God can still do with, in, and through your life. Don't allow the devil lie to you. In the name of Jesus. Now, you see, I don't want to call the cases because it is a sensitive matter. You know, there are certain things around them that are sensitive. You know, but there are certain people right now as I speak, you will notice that you're beginning to lose control over your tongue. You will notice that you're beginning to lose control over your tongue. I don't want to call it baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it's more like that. Okay? Yes. You will notice you're beginning to lose control over your tongue. There's something that the Lord is dealing with in your life. Ah, that's why we came today. your story is about to change. It will now be that it is this person that we know who is this, that, and that. And the testimony that will come from you is that if God can do this with you, then there's nobody that God cannot work with. That's right. The tongues are loosening now. I see the angels of the Lord loosening tongues. I see them loosening people's tongues, releasing people into this experience that I speak about. One, two, three, at the count of five, four. Five. Yes. And you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. The Father has come out. Today I came today as an evangelist, because there's something that Jesus wants to do. Yes. I've come to show you that His love is greater. It's greater than those addictions. That the only one who is qualified to condemn you, instead of condemning you, he died. Who is he that condemned? It is Christ that died. Strongholds are breaking from the lives of men. Someone will leave this place tonight, and you will leave with a definite impartation. A definite impartation. A definite impartation of the fear of the Lord. Yes. Tonight is your night. There's someone in this meeting today. As I speak right now, the hand of the Lord is coming upon you. A mighty revival is about to break out in your family, and it's going to begin with you. I see the hand of the Lord resting upon you, because this chain over your family is breaking. This chain over your family is breaking. You are going back home, and you are going back home with a wind of change. Yes, with a major wind of change. Ruach Elohim. Ruach Elohim. Ruach Elohim. Ruach Elohim. Ruach Elohim. Ruach Elohim.
like I said, because of the sensitivity, please just reduce the movements right now. God is helping lives. God is helping lives. Because of the sensitivity and the nature of some of these things, I won't call the situations. But there are about 3 to 5. 3 to 5. I see a mighty grace that distinguishes, that is resting upon you. A mighty grace that distinguishes, that is resting upon you. What your life looks like or looked like before now will in no way be similar to what this unction that is coming upon you now is about to do in and through your life. I see nothing less than 3 to 5. And the Lord begins to speak, and I hear the grace that distinguishes. The grace that distinguishes. The grace that God is helping men here. I tell you, God is helping lives here. God is helping lives here. And you know the beautiful part with not even calling or mapping out what it is, you can actually write your name on these things. Yes. 1. 2. That's right. That's right. God is helping that brother. God is helping that brother. God is helping that brother. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Le fremindo prefieto saprie kemendo. Because the you who came is not the you that is going back. Go. And this will not find expression in your life anymore. In the name of Jesus, stop. We need to go. We need to go. But let me say this quickly. I just saw someone in the spirit, and then this scripture just popped out. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Help. Just help these people. I just saw certain people in the spirit, and then the Lord just said that word. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So mightily, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Oh, the word of God is finding you out. Yes, the word of God is finding you out. And thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Ah. Yes. Oh Lord, what is this that you are saying concerning these fellows? Hear the word of the Lord for you.
Hear the word of the Lord for you. A new government is arising where your life is concerned. And this government is the counsel of his word. Yes. Jesus. Jesus. You know. So mightily grew the word, and it prevailed over you. Yes, you are here, so much so that the word of God can prevail. The Master is purifying his church. The Master is sanctifying his church. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. God will help you. God will help you. He will. He will. Jesus. You see, please listen to me. I don't know how you've been leaving meetings when you go back. But please don't leave this meeting the way you have been leaving meetings. Take advantage of this fire that God is releasing to purify his church.
Go back and stir it up.
Stir it up. There are all kinds of impartations and things that are happening right now as I speak, but time won't let us, so let's go. But I beg you, I beg you.
Some of you will leave this meeting today and you will realize an unusual dissatisfaction and detaste for anything that does not look like God.
All eyes closed, we need to go.
I'm standing here and I want to leave, and the Lord keeps pouring oil on my head. And when these things happen, I know that it is not my own. It is to be released into the atmosphere. So I will just speak as I'm commanded of the Lord. Yield to Him so we can go. From this meeting we'll rise. Mighty agents of revival. You don't know, we are past this amen stage. Just lift up your hand and receive. From this meeting we rise. Mighty agents of revival. Who will instill like a virus the fear of the Lord into families, into territories. Yes. Yes. Your words will come forth as fire. Aha! Oh my goodness. Oh yes, oh yes. Okay. This is what... Please, let's go. We need to go. This is what the Lord is saying concerning somebody here. This person that I speak about, you will begin to feel heat inside your system, inside your entire system. Okay? And the Lord is speaking about you and is referring to you as an intercessor. And he's saying that you will not rest. Okay. Oh God. Just help. He said, you will not rest until you see righteousness prevail in territories. There will be an unusual dissatisfaction. You have been taking things casually before now. But this is the impartation that the Lord is releasing over you. Help. There is a restlessness. I see this fire that burns from within you. Yes, I see this fire that burns from within you. Oh, mam pepe, embre pepimbra stovibra combe. In the name of Jesus. And we need to go. We need to go. All eyes closed. Please, I beg you, just all eyes closed. We need to leave. Ideally, nothing, there should have been no need to even ask you to close your eyes, but we just want to encourage the people. We do everything possible to just ensure that lives are saved. As all eyes are closed right now, if you are here and you are not born again, or somewhere along the line you backslided, and or maybe you are here and you are not even sure whether you're born again or not, and you want to say, I want to be sure, I want to be certain about my salvation, I don't want to leave this meeting the way I came. If you are like that, very quickly, as all eyes are closed, I want to pray for you. Please keep your hands down, everybody. If you are like that, I want you to raise your hand above your head. I want to pray for you. You want to say, I want to be born again. I want to know God personally and intimately. I want to know Him. I want to receive His life. I want to give Him my all. As all eyes are closed, I want to pray for you. If you're like that and you are here, lift your hand above your head. I want to pray for you very quickly. God bless you. You want to say, I want to be born again. Enough of all of this. Today I'm born again, tomorrow I backslide and I leave it and I just turn my back on Jesus. Enough of all that nonsense. The Father is out. That's what makes salvation possible. It's not because you... No, the Father is out. And that's why I came. Very quickly, I want to pray for you. If your hands are up, I can see two hands there. God bless you. You want to join them quickly? God bless you. I can see a hand here. Very quickly, all eyes closed. We need to pray and we need to go. I'm waiting for you. Quickly. You say, man of God, I'm not even sure. The truth about it is that there is an assurance of salvation. If you are not sure, you are probably not. You need to be sure. If you want to join them, I want to pray now. Your hands lifted above your head. I'm waiting for you. God bless you. I can see a hand there. I'm tired of all of this. I'm tired. I can't continue like this. It's for you to be glorified. For you to be lifted, all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted. Now, if your hands are lifted, a slip would have been given to you already. Wherever you are, I want you to just keep your hands lifted. You don't need to come out today, but wherever you are, I want you to talk to God. Tell Him, Lord, I'm sorry for my wrongs. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Very quickly. God, I'm sorry for my wrongs. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Father. Talk to Him. As someone who came to this meeting today, you've been experiencing one strange headache. We curse that infirmity from off your life in the mighty name of Jesus. It leaves you and never comes back in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes. Leaves you and never comes back in the name of Jesus Christ. Talk to God. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you as I am. I'm sorry for my wrong. I ask that you cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Acknowledge that you died for me, you shed your blood for me, and you gave me your life.
Now, today I have come to receive that life. I ask that you will be my Lord and my Savior from now henceforth, and I will be your son and your daughter in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll pray for you, but immediately after I'm done praying for you, please, you just look behind you, see someone with a counselor placard. They will just want to meet with you very briefly, pray with you, give you some few instructions, and that will be all. We will not take your time. You just take your Bibles. I think someone will lead you from wherever you're standing or and all that, so that you can just meet up with them. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these precious lives that have come to accept and acknowledge you as their Lord and their Savior today. You who is able to keep us from falling and has kept us, you will keep them. The power of sin is broken from off your life from today in the mighty name of Jesus. Your life will never be the same again. You rise from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Every addiction in your life ends now in the name of Jesus Christ. You will begin to experience and enjoy the full benefits of salvation from now henceforth. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Please, can we put our hands together for them?
What a joy it was having you on this journey, and I believe you were blessed. For more of our messages, you can follow us on our social media platforms. Our Facebook handle is at TFHOL, and our Telegram handle is also at TFHOL. For more inquiries, you can call us on +234 8080 8400 80. God bless you.